fell upon her husband, and indeed it fell upon the very world around about them. Death ascended the throne of time, and ever since has tyrannized every generation of the descendants of Eve. We have read this evening how that from the lips of his Maker, Adam heard the fateful sentence in verse 19, "Dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return." Now here is a very interesting thing. I have to confess that in all my reading of the Scriptures, I have read this many times, and yet I never really stopped to let it sink in. An interesting thing. That it was at this point in time that Eve received her name. Dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. And the very next verse, and Adam called his wife's name Eve. But what's in a name? In this case, plenty. Eve's name is actually a very intriguing study. It comes as something of a surprise to recognize that the name of Eve only occurs four times in all the Bible. Twice in the book of Genesis, and twice mentioned by the Apostle Paul to the Corinthians and then to Timothy. Something else. Not only is she only mentioned four times, whereas Adam's named about 30, but she was named by Adam, not by God. Adam was named by his Maker. Eve was named by her husband. And as we have noted, while Adam received his name as soon as he was created, Eve did not receive a specific name. Until this, she was just known as the woman. Sometimes, indeed, she was included in the generic title Adam, which means man. She did not receive her name until after the fall and the curse consequent upon the fall. You know, there's something peculiarly appropriate about even the timing of giving Eve her name. The name Eve simply means life. What a stark contrast with verse 19. Dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. That's death. And Adam called his wife's name life. I think you'll see that Eve merits our closest attention. As I've said, we're all her children. So tonight I want us to consider Eve, the mother of all living. And I trust that as we consider Eve, we shall be able to place our own lives in true perspective. Because I think you'll see that Eve, to a large extent, still lives in her children. There are just two things, basically, that I want to direct your attention to about Eve. Each of them corresponds with a major event in her life. First of all, as I think of Eve and how she got her name and when she got her name, I've got to say that Eve experienced the horrors of sin. Eve experienced the horrors of sin. This sums up the first part of her life. What a tragedy when sin blights the very beginning of a life that holds great promise before it can ever bring that promise to pass. I have described this perfect woman. I dare say that any woman longing for physical beauty, could she parade all the specimens of feminine attractiveness that have ever lived? Could she parade them all before her vision and choose one? Eve must stand out head and shoulders above the rest because she came straight from the hand of God. I have described how God created her holy, so that not only outwardly, but inwardly, she was the most attractive, beautiful woman the world has ever seen. Everything was right. All the potential for heaven on earth was there. The promise was great, but it was never fulfilled. In a relative sense, that happens again and again. I see young people start out with lots of promise, with many attractive qualities, with wonderful God-given talent, every augury for the future is bright. Promise is never fulfilled. What a tragedy when sin grasps a life at its very inception. When I think of Eve and her experience of the horrors of sin, I say that she was first of all deceived. She was deceived. Paul says she was beguiled. Genesis chapter 3 speaks of the subtlety of the serpent who overcame her. She experienced the lure of the world, the lure of the devil. She was overcome by the sensuous and by the material. She was led by the devil's subtlety, by the temptation of the old serpent, by his sweet talk, by his glib promises. She was led to devalue the spiritual and to set up in her life the God of the temporal, the God of the immediate, the God of lust expressed. Men and women, I say, we are the children of Eve. Around this country tonight, there are lives that are cursed and blighted. In this very meeting tonight, there are hearts that are heavy, broken, crushed by the tempter, because they have been deceived into devaluing the spiritual, devaluing the eternal, devaluing the things of God, and enthroning on the throne of the heart the God of this world and all the things that he brings along with him. Eve was deceived. Young person, I and older man, because we never learn, except God in grace gives a new heart. Be careful of the hiss of the serpent, because Eve was disappointed. Sin did not produce what the old serpent promised it would produce. And it never does. It never does. Eve deceived into thinking that here was something being held out to her that God was trying to stop her having, to destroy her complete happiness. Ah, my friend, is that not the story that the devil is telling again and again? Are there not young people in this meeting tonight? And the devil's telling you, oh God, and the church, and your parents, and the preachers, they're trying to keep something off you. Something that you would really do well to have. Something that would fulfill your life. Something that would bring joy. Something that would give you experience. Something that would let you assert yourself. Something that would let you feel free and stand tall. Man, the devil's a glib talker. But he never delivers the goods. He never delivers the goods. She was disappointed. And Eve was destroyed. Her beauty of body destroyed. Like every other person, whatever beauty of form she had was quickly erased with the passage of time. Her beauty of soul gone. And not only so, but I want you to watch something. In the curse that sin brought, watch what the Lord says to her, verse 16. I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow shalt thou bring forth children. Thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. You know what the Lord was talking about here was a list of things that to unfallen woman would have been the greatest joys of her existence. She was created, the wife, to enjoy her husband. She was created to be the perfect mother. And yet watch how the Lord says, I'll multiply your sorrow and your conception. The very choicest things of life were destroyed for Eve. Do you know it's still the same? Still the same. It's not for nothing that the Scripture keeps on and on and on repeating that the travail of a woman with child is the picture of the greatest and most sorrowful agony that language can express. We look around us today and we see the other side of this. Do we not find that the homes of America are being ripped apart because of the sorrow and the bitterness of the woman against the man and the man against the woman? So that husband, conception, birth, family, home, instead of all being aspects of heaven, my, they become like the battleground of hell. Oh, she was destroyed, all right. That's always what sin does. Sin will destroy you in the obvious ways. But my friend, sin will also take those things in which naturally you could expect the greatest pleasure. And it will turn their sweet waters to the waters of Marah. And you'll cry bitterness at every drop. Ah, she was destroyed. And worst of all, she was damned. Brought under condemnation, under the curse of God, and the wrath and the hatred of a sin-hating God. My, she became an enemy of God. And stepped out as a candidate for hell, Eve experienced the horrors of sin. That's the first part of her life. But thank God, He's the God of all grace. And I can go on to say that Eve expressed the hope of the gospel. Adam called his wife's name Eve. Life. When God had just spoken of death and of the grave. Now the question is, how could Adam possibly, immediately upon hearing the sentence of death, call his wife's name Eve? Now it's true, and I think this is the editorial pen of Moses following in here, that she was the mother of all living. I know that that is true, but I'm speaking of Adam right at that point in time. As the word about death fell from the lips of his maker, how could he turn to Eve and say, I name you life? I don't agree with those who think that this was done in rebellion. That he was repudiating the sentence of God. That would surely have been a vain thing. And I don't think for one moment that it would have been followed in the very next verse with the covering of God's grace for their sin. Ah, no, my friend, why did Adam name her life? I'll tell you why. The answer's in verse 15. God had said to the woman, or of the woman, should I say, to the serpent, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. God had given the promise of a Savior from Eve. And Adam and his wife believed God, and therefore Adam named his wife Eve. And thus she expressed the hope of the gospel. Well, you notice that this hope that they had a triple foundation. It was based on three great things. And let me say that the hope of the gospel, the hope of every person in this meeting who is trusting Jesus Christ, is based on this same ground. First of all, their hope was based on the virgin birth of the Savior. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. The seed of the woman is the virgin-born Redeemer, born without the seed of a human father, born by immaculate conception, born by the mighty action of God the Holy Spirit in the womb of one of the daughters of Eve. The seed of the woman, the virgin-born Savior, God incarnate. And I tell you, my friend, my hope is built on this ground. The hope of the gospel is the hope that God so loved the world that He sent His Son into the world, born of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of children. Then there's a second ground for the hope, and it's the victory of God's Son. He shall bruise thy head. What a word that was. Here was mankind, seminally represented in our first parents. Here's the whole human race, there before God, in a condition of sin. The entire race lies in the lap of the devil. It lies on the heap of sin and destruction. And yet God steps in by sovereign grace when He says, I promise a Savior, my Son born of a virgin. And I promise His victory. He will bruise the serpent's head. Thank God tonight for the victory of the cross. Thank God for the finished work of Calvary. Thank God for the devil-defeating power that is in the blood of the Lamb. Thank God that at the cross, God was satisfied. We were justified, and the devil was terrified, put to flight forever. Bless God tonight. Our hope is built on the virgin birth of Christ, and it's built on the victory of the Son of God over hell and the devil. Aye, and it's built on a third foundation, and that is the veracity of God's Word. At this point in time, Adam and Eve had nothing but the naked promise of God. They could hear the rumble of death and hell in their ears. My every heartbeat within them was like a death knell promising that destruction was on the way. They were within a short step of eternal damnation, and all they had was the promise of God's naked Word. Nothing else. God gave them His Word, I will do something. And they could say with Paul, I believe God. That's the hope of the gospel. Can I say to you tonight, my friend, the ground of peace with God has never changed. Christ's person, Christ's work. And how do you know you have any ground of hope in Christ? How can you know that the blood cleanses you? How can you know that you're right with God? How can you be sure that you're going to heaven? The naked promise of God. He says it. It cannot be other than He has promised. So the very name of Eve stands as a glowing testimony to her reception of the first gospel promise. This is how she was saved. And I believe she was saved. Because the very next verse, 21, says how God covered Adam and Eve. Covering and atonement are the one idea in Scripture. God covered them. It's the picture of God putting them under the blood of Christ. Can I say this is always the order in any man's experience? The gospel is preached as God preached it to them. The gospel is believed, received by faith. And then God grants you the knowledge of justification and acceptance with Him. Make sure tonight you come as they came. This is how she was saved. And will you notice, she lived up to her name, you know. She was well named, Life. For she enjoyed spiritual life in the face of physical death. We are all dying, just as she was. The seeds of death worked in her every day, and they were preparing for that final harvest. And the soul would quit the body. And the grim reaper would cut down that body and level it in the tomb. Yes, she was facing physical death, but though dying physically, she was alive spiritually. That's what it is to be saved. Death is on the trail of every man here. No matter how young and healthy you appear to be, I want to tell you it is only the sovereign power of God and His grace that keeps you from death at this very instant. Death's on the trail of every one of us. But you know, though we're facing physical death, we can thank God we have spiritual life. It is appointed unto man once to die. We are as water that is spilt upon the ground that cannot be gathered up again. Yes, there is but a step between me and death. I bless God that whether I live for 10 years or 10 minutes, I have life in Jesus Christ. Spiritual life. Not only so, but she enjoyed a victorious life. A life of useful service. Despite having been duped by the devil. Now let that sink in. The devil not only likes to make a fool of a person and dupe them and get them to fall into sin, but in every case, He wants them to believe, now you've fallen. You're in the pit. There's no way out. And even if you come to Christ and you say you're saved, well, leave it to others to do anything for God, for you can never be of any use. And He would keep bringing you back to what you were and what you did and how He lorded it over you. But I want you to take encouragement from this. Here was a woman. She was duped more comprehensively than any person has ever been deceived by the devil from that time to this. And yet, when God saved her, when she believed the gospel, she not only received spiritual, eternal life, but she received a life that was victorious and useful. It's interesting that at the beginning of the very next chapter, when she named her first son, she had the promise of Genesis 3:15 in mind. She was living in the light of the gospel. She had spiritual life in the face of physical death. She enjoyed victorious life, even though she had been duped by the devil. And I believe that with all the people of God, she whose name was life could look forward to resurrection life, which death could never destroy. I think if you could look up into heaven tonight, you would see Eve awaiting the resurrection. Oh, she lost Eden below. But bless God, she has gained the Eden above. Here's the hope of the gospel. Here's the hope which Eve expresses. We were singing tonight that we were ruined by the fall. How true that is. We lost Eden. Shut out from the paradise of God. Dupes and slaves of the devil and sin. Bless God, in the gospel we have the hope of resurrection life. If we die tonight in Christ, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, absent from the body and present with the Lord. And there's a day coming when that same Lord will return. We mourn over departed loved ones. But Paul said that we ought not to mourn as those who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, them also that sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. He moves on to that great description of the coming of the Lord. The Lord Himself. What a lovely expression that is. This same Jesus, the Lord who loved us from all eternity, the Lord who came into the world to save us, the Lord who died and shed His blood on Calvary for us, the Lord who rose again and went to the right hand of God to lift our name and our cause constantly before His Father's face, the Lord who saved us, the Lord Himself, shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall rise to meet them in the air. And we shall be forever with the Lord. Oh, what a blessed anticipation. We have now the assurance that were God to take us out into eternity, our soul would wing its way to heaven. We have the assurance that this old body will be resurrected, so that body and soul we shall be forever perfected in glory. What a hope! Life now! Victory now! Usefulness now! Heaven on before! What a joy! And then, body and soul made perfect, to enjoy the paradise of God. I said that Eve was the mother of us all. And I said she lives in every one of us. Heredity looms large in all Eve's family. Like her, we are the natural dupes of the devil. Like Eve, we are brought under the curse of sin. Like Eve, we have been made ready for hell. Like Eve, we deserve the curse and the condemnation of God. But also, thank God, like Eve, we have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Like Eve, we have not been allowed to go down the broad road without hearing the promise of Christ, without hearing of the virgin-born Savior, the victorious Son of God, who crushed the devil's head. Oh, we have heard the gospel of hope for the hopeless. Now, here's the all-important thing. Eve embraced the promise and was eternally saved. Many of her children refused the promise and are eternally damned. Sons and daughters of Eve, you've followed her into sin. I wonder tonight, have you followed her to the cross? Have you followed her to the blood? Have you followed her to Christ? Will you follow her to glory? Make sure this evening that you embrace the promise and take Christ as your personal Savior. May God grant it to the saving of your soul for His name's sake. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. We do want every head bowed. In just a moment the meeting will be over. And you'll be free to leave. I wonder, are you saved tonight? I'm not asking you, do you believe a set of doctrines? Do you endorse a series of dogmas? Do you abide by a code of ethics? I'm asking you tonight, have you believed the promise of God? Have you taken God at His word? Have you followed Eve to the cross and to the blood? Some of you, I fear, are being duped by the devil to devalue that which is spiritual and eternal for the sake of that which is momentary and sensuous and sinful. Be warned and flee to Christ. I'm here as your servant for Jesus' sake. I invite you to remain as the others leave. Don't go away from this place until you've come to Christ. If you'd like to be saved, backslider, if you've lost out with God, there is a way back to God. I'm here to help you to the cross. Come and have a word with me. And I'll be glad to point you to the Lord Jesus. May God bless you and bring you to Himself.
for his name's sake. Father in heaven, we pray that thou wilt bless thy word. We pray, Lord, that after the feeble voice of man is silent, thou wilt speak on with the Holy Spirit's voice, convicting of sin and leading souls to Christ. Our God, have mercy on every son and daughter of Eve. We thank thee that it's a great encouragement that our God had mercy on our first father and our first mother. Lord, have mercy on each of their children here tonight. Sea of souls that are waiting. And enable us, O Lord, everyone, to leave this house rejoicing in the possession of life more abundant in Jesus. Part us with thy blessing. Keep us in thy fear. Be the abiding portion of all thy blood-bought people, both this Sabbath evening and until our Lord Jesus either calls us home or comes again in all his glory. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.